Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the new and Kristen Business Coffee Hour. Wow, several callers in the queue were busy this morning. So we're going to be taking your call for just a moment. And first, I guess we would like everybody to join us on Facebook. Please do so. That would be great to have your support. And those accounts are linked under our Blog Talk Radio profile. The call-in number is 914-338-0164. And do press 1 if you'd like to speak with us callers. Anything else, Neil?
Nope, I don't think so.
All right, so let's bring on area code 312.
Hi, my name is Karen, and I'm calling from Chicago.
Karen?
Yes.
Okay, hi, Karen.
Hello.
K-R-E-N... Okay. What brings you to the show?
I was wondering if you see anything improving for me. At the present time, I'm looking for a job, and my boyfriend broke up with me. So I'm just wondering if you see anything. Yeah, it just came like all
at once.
He won't. Yeah, and he won't talk to me. He won't answer my emails. He won't answer my calls. He's gone, and I've been looking for work. And it just seems like there's just, like, not much going on right now. It's, like, kind of slow.
Okay. So yeah. I guess the first thing to ask is, do you have a savings from which you can support yourself while you're looking for work? Or is it
no.
kind of
No.
So you're
no.
really needing to get work. Okay.
Yes.
Let's get your birth date, first of all.
Okay. Sure. It's 3/31/71.
Okay, 3/31/71/67/17. You're 25/7, and you said you lost your job. Is that what happened? You lost your job?
Right. What happened is I was working on a project, and they just decided to end it. And then I just did a couple other projects, but those have ended as well.
So it's not like you got fired exactly, but you just were you a contract employee?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
What kind of work is it?
Yeah. What's your...
Administrative, like working in an office, administrative assistant.
Oh, gosh, I would think that there's a lot of positions available as administrative work.
Are they builders? What kind of work is... What's the nature of
there a specific... Maybe she works in different places. Is there a specific business you work in?
Manufacturing, transportation, those type of areas.
Okay. And as I was saying, I would think there would be a lot of work for available in administrative assistance, especially if you go to like a temp agency or something like that.
Right. I applied for like 16 temp agencies, and I haven't heard from one yet.
Have you walked
redid
into
my resume?
Have you gone in personally, or
no.
have you just sent your resume in? You know, I really think that I'm sure Neil would agree that it's better to go to these agencies and, you know, meet them in person, because places like this are receiving so many resumes from different individuals. And so if you're able to make yourself stand out, one way would be a personal meeting with them. I don't know if they operate like that anymore. It used to be that you would go apply in person at a temp agency, but now the internet and everything, you know, it's sending a resume in much easier. But I think that would help make an impression. I don't know what you think, Neil.
Yeah, that's fine. That's a good suggestion. It seems, Karen, like you're going, you know, your boyfriend probably just didn't leave overnight. It was probably a buildup of arguments or disagreements, or you're not meeting on the same page or something. So
yeah.
There was probably trouble ahead of, you know, backward in time, right?
Ahead, backward.
Yeah. So, and were you with this person for 3 or 4 years or less or more?
That would be about right. Maybe about 1 or 2 years, maybe 3 at the most, but yeah, about maybe 1 or 2 years. Yes.
Okay. Maybe at the beginning of the comment, maybe close to 3 years. Well, let's stick with that one.
Yeah.
1 to 2, but
yeah.
Maybe close to 3 since we said it. You're right now you're 48 years old and your master number is 7. So what we're going to do is we're going to ask you really quickly what happened around the age of 25, if you can remember.
That would have been 1996.
Oh, yes.
What happened?
Oh, I broke up with my college boyfriend. It was like
You broke up with your college boyfriend. What was the reason
yes.
for that breakup?
It was the same thing. I didn't have my degree, and I was looking for work. And he had already started his career. He was already had landed a big job at a big company, and he was already on his starting his life. He had graduated, but I hadn't graduated. I was still going to school and looking for work, and it wasn't like we were at two different pages in our life. We were living together, and it wasn't working out.
And you have a degree in business?
Communications.
Communications. And what, the boyfriend that broke up with you, you guys weren't living together?
No.
You weren't living together, and what type of work does he do?
The new one, this one recent one. Oh, he works for a big company in transportation. He's like a manager.
Okay.
I used to work at that same company, but I don't work there anymore. I left them about 5 years ago.
And the impetus, I mean, what do you think caused the breakup? I mean, Neil was saying probably this is a buildup of things that happened over time, but
yeah, he accused me of not wanting to be with him, like not wanting to be with him romantically. And that was really what the big fight was over.
What's his birthday?
It's November 10th.
Did you want to write down 11? He was going to be born in November. No, go ahead. November 10th.
Yeah, it's November 10th, and he's about 63. So maybe about, about 1955. I'm not really sure.
He would be, if he was 1955, he's 63, so he'd be turning 64. Well, it's hard to tell. That's another 11.
Yeah.
64, but was he providing any financial support for you?
Yeah, he was. He gave me like $60, and he's given me money in the past for my rent. You know, if I really, I was in a jam and I really, really needed it, and he did give it to me.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, that may be why he was feeling like you didn't want to be with him romantically. I mean, not to say that he was giving you so much financial support that that would be a logical conclusion necessarily, but maybe he felt, you know, the burden of financial responsibility with
could
you.
Be.
I don't know.
But for your personal journey, Karen, you're approximately, 48, so you're just 2 years shy of doubling the year of your karmic energy at 25, so you're 2 years shy of that, which will be at 50. Your life goes in series of 7, which means that at 49, you'll be 7 times 7. That's your master number. But your problem is this. In the numerical code of your journey, You have three interesting factors. You have this repetition of 31 going on, 31 in your day, the 3 and 1 in your first and third number, and the 3 and 1 in your first and last numbers. Now, that's a broken up balance of 4. So your balance in life is one of your major obstacles. Trying to find that balance is a major obstacle for you, because usually there's a breakup, there's fire, emotional fire. The job dissolves, the project, the relationship dissolves. So you've come in with this journey already tacked on to your soul. And what you're trying to do is remain steadfast, ethical, spiritual, whatever you want to call that, and get by and work through this karma and maintain a balance of life. Now, right now, you're stuck in a zone, I would call. But we can maybe go back just for a second in time to where the seed of the current in this physical lifetime, the current seed of dissension occurred. So I'm going to ask you, were your parents divorced, or was one an alcoholic or one problematic?
They divorced, and one was problematic, my father.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, so that stage represents a karma that you as a child came in with, but it's part of your karma as much as it's part of theirs, and that's where the beginning of your conflict on the earthly plane began.
So the karma would be related to past life.
Past life.
Past life, Karen.
But in this life, it serves as a divorce. That's a split. The father is problematic, confrontational, alcoholic. That's a split. So you have these splits going on. So since it's in the grain of the wood of your life, you're still experiencing it even at the age of 48, where you should be going on with your life and flying colors.
Did you say about her master number being broken up in her 331? Did you already say that?
I
missed that. But
so
anyway,
with that little brief background, the readings are short. We've got other callers. Hold on, other callers.
Yeah. Other callers.
With that brief background, what we do now is we get instrumental and we say, okay, how can we get constructive with this obstacle? Well, I would say, number one, there might be something, Karen, that you're holding on to from childhood that's in your energy, an emotion, a conflict, a hurt, a pain that got into your feelings that stayed there and grew, but remained buried in your soul. If something like that is going on a personal stage for you, I would suggest that now is the time to let it go, because if it stays, you're going to keep meeting these aggravating situations. And these things that occur in our life, they take on a solid energy in our being, and then it presents a block because it puts out an energy. And so the good news is that you might be able to release this if you can attach to anything I'm speaking of. Maybe you have to go. Can you attach to anything that you should let go of already?
I don't speak with my father now. He left, so I'm still maybe upset about that.
Well, you can do self therapy.
And you don't have to, rejoin with your father to get past this. I mean, cutting relationships off can be very healthy. So it's just about maybe releasing whatever you're holding inside about, resentment or anger you have towards him in the relationship.
And was there any incident where you had an animal and the end of that animal's life was very distressing? Anything like that?
Yeah, my cat got. I went on a vacation. I won a vacation, and I left my cat with my dad. And my dad let it out, and it ran away, and it didn't come back.
Oh.
It may have died or something. Yeah, well, we never knew what happened. Nobody ever said anything.
That
he just disappeared.
Father.
Yeah, you know, my thought process prior to me bringing that up was that your dad had abused one of your animals. And that was
okay.
A neglect them. See, so this is getting to be more solid, Karen. You're calling the show. You're wanting to know how your future might unravel. We're giving you the suggestion to work on letting go of this stuff with your dad. Don't hold on. It's better to let go of it than to hold on to it and feel pain. If you have to let go, what's the difference? Eliminate them. Get rid of them, you know, in your mind, in your soul. Detach and do it in a way to where you feel better. You're not holding on to it. Because my theory is that you're holding on to it, and I think psychically that it's causing conflicts in your life.
So real quick, she's got this problem with the job and also with the relationship. So regarding the relationship, is this something you want to keep? What are your feelings for this gentleman?
I do care about him very much. I just don't think he'll come back. Right? What happens is he blows up and then he comes back. So he may come back in a couple months, you know, maybe a year from now. I don't know.
That's
but,
not helpful,
you know,
either, though.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Being reliant on someone's, you know, emotional roller coaster and whether they decide to, you know, come back or not in a couple months or a year. I mean, you shouldn't be dealing with that kind of energy from another human being you're in a relationship with. It's not mature.
Well, there's two things too, Karen. You're finding slices of your father's psyche in these men.
Exactly.
And then because you're holding on to issues, the problems get worse. And then they start blaming you too. See, you've got to cut this out. And if you do, changes could occur within a month, within a week. I don't know. There's no reason for this to keep going on. What we think we've discovered is the core issue of your problems. And so from the core issue, look at what's currently going on. If you get rid of the core issue by the roots of this, and do it in some experimental or creative way, you're going to find your life will drastically change. It will. It will.
Okay.
Trust me. It will change. Hopefully for the better.
Okay.
Anything else you want to ask before we move on to our next caller, Karen? I mean, regarding disgust.
Yeah. Do you see something coming up? If I do, maybe call a couple of these agencies. Reach out
on
the phone.
Listen, Karen, you're not listening to what we're saying because you're wanting a prediction. You're wanting to know if something's coming up, and I'm saying, and what I'm saying to you is, if you want something to come up, let go of this, and it will come up. See, what you're saying is, well, okay, that was good news. Okay, that was great. Do you see anything coming up? You see, you're too eager. You're not. Here's what your comment should be, Karen. You should be saying, I got it. I'm going to do this. And what you're saying, if I do it, something's going to come up. And it could come up immediately.
Well,
we're saying yes.
Right. And she's, I think, part of her process. She's overwhelmed by the fact that she's in a position where she can't afford to live. And she's been kind of abandoned by this boyfriend. And so you've got to let that go. I would, you know, if you want some practical advice, what I said earlier, I would say go into these agencies. Don't call them up. Calling them up is not going to help you get a job, I don't think.
Okay.
Well, not only that, and what can you do to let go of
your father?
What can you do, Karen?
But I was mentioning
what
she needs to do
practically.
But letting go.
Real quickly, before we go on to our next caller, what can you do in 30 seconds to let go of your father?
Maybe just, you know, forgive him, write a letter, forgive him, and just let that go, you know, just
okay,
either burn it. Or, Yeah.
You do whatever you want with it. You know, put a cake on it. I don't care what you do.
Yeah.
Just that's a good start. That's a good start. Do that. And then let us call us back. We're on Wednesdays and Fridays. Call us back and tell us how things are going.
Yeah, tell us how things are going.
Okay. Okay. Okay, I'll start there.
Yeah, and if something comes up, definitely call us. If something changes or there's a job possibility, so we can discuss it, because it always helps to have updates and know people's progress, because then we can work with the energy and try to shift things in a positive way for you while you're doing your personal work.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, Karen.
I'll start there. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks. Take care. And Karen can join us on Facebook. And we hope that she does. Follow us here on Blog Talk Radio as well. Okay, we have 845 area code.
Hello, it's me, Lucy. How are you?
Hey, Lucy.
Yeah, how you doing?
I thought of you this morning. That's funny. I really did.
Wonderful.
10-16-62. So what's new?
Everything is okay. I would like to know what is my relationship with my probably son-in-law, future son-in-law. Then, looking for him. I know he's 35.
Okay, your future son-in-law. So your daughter is engaged to be married?
Yes.
Okay.
He decided to marry this person. And I'm looking for his month. I know he's 35.
But you don't know his exact. So if he's 35, the month would help. But you don't know his birthday. You just don't know it.
No. At this point, I don't. I'm looking for his birthday. And then I kind of.
Well, you can always ask him and get back to us on another show.
He would be turning, if he's turning 35, or if he turned 35 before today, this year, he would have been born in 1984.
What's your daughter's birthday?
It's November 4, 1990.
She's a 25-7. Is that what you've got, Neil?
Yeah.
So he's a little bit older than her. Do you like him?
Not really.
No.
Is he dominating?
It's very difficult. I don't dislike him, but then he's very vocal, and he writes very nasty things.
Opinionated?
I never encounter a person that I think, in other words, I'd rather to get hit in my face than to read the words that he sometimes writes. He writes to people when he's angry, to the point that it is now.
So, like, can you give us a little bit of context? Has he written to somebody in your family member you're talking about?
He wrote me last time when he got mad. That he swear to God he's going to kill me, something like that. Because I didn't agree with him. Then that was like, are you sure about that? It's like, it was very outrageous what he wrote.
That's not good.
Because I don't take sides. I cannot take sides from, he has his own point of view, but then he cannot be, if I am neutral, you say I'm, oh my God, this is like the first time he is very vocal and very,
you know, Lucy, what you're going to find with him is he's going to be very controlling. So he'll be very controlling with your daughter, and he'll decide basically when your daughter sees. He'll probably be somewhat lenient, but a lot of his behavior will be based on how he's feeling at the moment. And you'll have a troubling relationship with him. I don't think you'll have a horrible relationship, if you just kind of stick your nose out of his business. But you know, you're going to notice that your daughter will change for him, and he will kind of control life. But you're not going to lose your relationship with your daughter over him. Right? That's nothing like that. Not that in that zone. But he'll be controlling, and you know, that's what you'll find. You'll just find some restrictions in the relationship. You're not going to love him. You know, he's your daughter's going to be your daughter's future husband. So you have to make do with things. Don't aggravate yourself by trying to control them or her. Let them lead their lives and just be pleasant to him. And he'll probably, since he's so reactive, if you're just cool with him, he'll be cool with you. And if he says things that annoy you, just keep your mouth quiet. Don't get into it with him, because all it's going to do is alienate you more from your daughter.
How can I ask, how close are they to you proximity wise? Where do they live? Distance wise.
Yeah, 1.5-2 hours.
So relatively close, but not like, you know, in the same town.
But it's not that they come over here. It's they, when we just speak on the phone or when we get together, if I don't agree with them, then if I don't agree with what he say, like, oh, I should not, like last time the argument was, I should not talk to my son because he did this and he did that, it's totally wrong. I say, listen, I am the mother and I am the person. I don't want to be put in a position. I don't want to be left or right. I am here and I am here to support everybody or to understand everybody because I wasn't there when the things happened. Then he starts say, oh, I am the F this and the F that, and then he swear that he's going to, let me see, I write you for the, oh, I swear to God I'm going to fucking murder you. It's like, hello, how can you say that to me? I didn't respond anything about it. I just left it like that.
He said, that's pretty inappropriate. He said, I'm going to murder you. I mean, I'm sure he's not going to kill you, but... To verbalize that, especially in a relationship, I mean, it's just not appropriate at all. That's so inappropriate.
Yeah, well, something like that, Lucy, is crazy.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
And so the nature of your arguments are based on things that are going on in the family unit. That's where you're arguing, like how you raise your son. It's not like political arguments or, you know, whatever.
If he does something and they don't agree, then if I don't go in their side, then they think that I am agreeing with what my son is doing or what my ex-husband is doing. I say, you got to understand that's the way they are. I just cannot go change them or try to change them, because the only thing that I can do is to tell them, okay, get some help, improve your life or way of living or do something about it, but I cannot just go put myself in your side, block this person because he did something that you don't like or you think that is wrong. Then that's when he start very abusive with me, because this is not the first time. Then I wonder how this relationship with my daughter is going to end if he doesn't once in a moon she's going to do something that he's not going to like, then somebody else is going to be like in trouble, you know. It's like,
well, what I'm just curious about what your daughter's reaction when he uses that kind of language and threats towards you.
Well, because like love is blind, then I guess she went to his side and she say, yeah, he's right, because it's sticking in our favor. He's totally right to tell you that, because he told me I am just a hippie mind and that sensory reality, and I am in a la la land reality.
Well, the thing is, too, that is concerning is that he uses this kind of language towards Lucy, and then the daughter probably, I mean, I don't know what they, what happens in their private life necessarily, but if he has that energy within him, then he's going to direct it probably at your daughter at some point. So it doesn't seem like the healthiest relationship to me.
No.
I mean, it's not the best choice for your daughter to marry, but unfortunately you don't have, you know, jurisdiction over that. You know, so as it stands, what is the, I mean, is there a fight going on right now? Or is there discord between the two of you, or have things smoothed over from the last fight that's occurred?
No, I didn't do, I didn't do anything. I just left it like that. I didn't text back. I just totally, like, nothing happened. Like, okay, it last, this is like the third time. This is the second time that he, or the first time that he verbally wrote what he saw on the test. But the two or three previous times when he asked me and he hung up the phone on me, it was it. It was, that's it. When he they say, oh, we come in to your house. I say, okay, you're welcome. You want to eat this? You want to eat that? Let me buy this for you. I'll pick you up. Then, I don't know. It's like...
You got a problem.
So they say that I am totally disillusioned. Like,
he doesn't
okay,
have like a criminal record, does he? Does he have a criminal record?
No. No, not that I know.
I know. Lucy, I don't know. You've got a problem. You could talk to your daughter about it in private and just say, and maybe she can talk to him and bring him down a little bit. Or you can have a private talk with him and try to build a rapport with him. Those are your two more immediate options, to have a talk with your daughter or to have a talk with him. Otherwise, you know, I mean, if he's continuing to threaten you and you, if you just shut up or don't say anything, I guess he won't threaten you. But, you know, the guys, your unfortunate situation is that this is who your daughter picked and you got a problem with.
Yeah.
They're eventually going to have problems too, if she starts to get annoyed by him constantly. So, you know, it's not going to be a good state of affairs, but I would, if I were you, I would have a talk. Maybe you could have a talk with him and say, look, I'm going to be your mother-in-law and I want us to all be a loving, good family. Can we get to know each other more? Can we talk? What annoys you? You know, listen to his feelings. He might start bonding with you. And maybe he'll find you a mentor. You're older. Maybe he'll start to like you more. You know, he's defensive. He's paranoid, and he's defensive, and he's out for a battle wherever he goes because he's been probably hurt, and he's learned to not be hurt by defending himself and being aggressive. So if you teach him more the idea of what friendship is, be his friend. Don't try to be too opinionated. Just let him start to share his feelings with you and listen to him. You'll probably find that he likes you. In fact, he might be talking to you more than you want him to. So that's what I would say, because otherwise you're in a bad situation, Lindsay.
Yeah, and I don't want to like bring a lawyer and bring somebody else in the family, because if I show the test and he sent me last time to my friends, in my family, they're going to be like, what is he thinking, you know?
Well, those are going to bring in... Your best,
more trouble.
Your easiest, most peaceful route is diplomacy, in the form of getting him to talk to you. Just say, you know, I want to get to know you more. See if he'll cooperate. And if he starts talking to you, look at that as a good sign. If he's talking, listen. Just listen, because he'll start to feel more bonded with you. You know, you got a problem with this guy. But if you fight him, a guy like this, he already knows how to fight, and he's nasty. So I don't think you're going to back him down. You're not Betty Davis backing him down, or Joan Crawford. You're just a nice lady, and you might have your voice, but this guy's mean. So you want to try to be his friend, and maybe that might work. That's all I can say at this point in time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I don't really, at this point, that what happened last week, at this point, I just want to leave it like that. and wait. Because I offer my.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Did you say that he may have. You think he may have some background, some criminal background, you think?
No,
so?
the reason I asked is if there was any basis for you to have more concern, like he's been violent with other people, things like that. But, you know, he doesn't. I mean, obviously people have no criminal records and they commit murders. So it's not that that is, you know, the ultimate criteria for whether someone's gonna eventually snap or not. But because he doesn't have a criminal background, I would guess that he's just
an angry person
that uses words in a
derogatory manner.
Exactly.
Well, you know, that's what our suggestion is, Lucy. If you want to do something proactive, I would move past your feelings and try to get him to become more of a friend in discussing or talking with you. If you can get there, you'll be making some progress. Otherwise, you're going to have a problem that we can't work out right at the moment. But that's our quick solution or option right now for you.
Yeah, let us know what happens. Is there, just real quick, because we've got to move on to the next caller, but real quick, is there a date that you're going to get together with your daughter and this guy again? Anything planned?
No, I don't think that at this point he wants to get together with me because he doesn't like what I do. Like, he doesn't like spirituality. He says it's a waste of time. He say that... it's just a way of pulling.
Well, let things cool off. I would say let things cool off for the moment. And then next time there's a visit planned, give us a call beforehand. And, you know, maybe we can talk a little bit more about it or call us after and let us know how things go. But at this point, just kind of cool your heels, I would say.
Yeah,
this is just. I never saw myself being in this position, and then they met because my son met a girl and he likes it, and he said he's gonna marry her, and then he said, oh, then she's Oriental, and then they say that he was just disillusioned too, and then it's a lot of stuff that he has been doing.
Family
issues.
But try this approach. Get back to us.
Okay,
us
I have his birthday. It's 3/26/84.
Okay, 3/26/84.
Yes.
Well, he has an 11. I mean, the 3/26 is an 11, so that presents some troubling.
Well, see, Lucy has 21. A 101, which is a 2, and then a 6, and he's born on the 26th.
Huh?
Lucy has a 101.
Oh, Lucy.
Two,
I was like, where's 101? What are you talking about?
And then a 6, and he's born on the 26th. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Their fire numbers are the same.
And
the 2,
there's
6.
There's strong 11s going on everywhere, which is, you got some trouble. You got
what's
some trouble, Lucy.
Oh, 21.
And,
she's laughing.
Yeah. This is trouble. You got trouble in River City. But
13, 8,
but you know, there might be ways to work this through, but it's not a solution that can be solved today.
Yeah, I just
you've given us enough to work with, and call us back when we have more time and not so many other callers. We will certainly address this once again. But my comment right now is, when you get a guy like this, oh boy, and you're a mother-in-law, your best bet is to try to approach that person and talk to them and see if you can befriend them on some level. Right now, that's going to not work probably, but you got to try something. Or else you just, you know, cool it right now and let it be, and get back to us, and we'll try to solve this through. But karmically, it's a mess.
Yeah, and they all add up to his month 3, so. Kind of interesting. 15. Yeah.
That's me. And then with Michelle is okay.
What?
Michelle is 11/20/11/4/1990.
Yeah, that's your daughter.
Yeah.
She's a 25-7. She's a 25-7, but she's got an 11. You've got an 11 in your 1-1. He's got an 11 in his 3-2-6. You know,
this 11 is a problematic number.
Fast life
problems. So you have some problems. And like I'm saying it's complicated. Call us back.
Yeah, call back with Michelle. Michelle,
something.
The thing that surprised me is Michelle's relationship with him. They're going to, they're going to get married, and if they get divorced, they get divorced, but then she's going to go empty-handed because I know him. He's so,
worried about... Well, I mean, there's, you know, if you have a strong relationship with your daughter, there's a possibility of opening up a dialogue with her about the choice she's making and maybe discussing it and you having an influence on her. But you don't want to be too controlling either, because it sounds like that's what he is. So, you know, again, we can talk about it on another show. We got to take this other caller, though, Lucy.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Lucy.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye. Okay. Hi, Jackie. Silence?
Hello? She's not listening.
I'm going to disconnect her and see if she calls back. Okay. Well, anyway, we have about 15 minutes left and no one else, I think.
Oh, I thought there were more callers.
No. We have someone listening, but I don't think that person wants to speak with us. Anyway, toxic relationships, they happen.
sometimes it's unfortunately it's destiny. Two people meet, there's negative energies all around the board, and we live in a friendly world, but we don't live in a totally friendly world. This world can be very dangerous.
That actually brings up a point, but go ahead.
It all depends on what side of the tracks you're on, and what cards you're dealt. Those cards are somewhat karmic in nature, in our estimation. And sometimes things can be changed. It's always a good approach to try to change things. And then sometimes there is sheer destiny. That's kind of scary. The negative sheer destiny is the scary clause. And I
not Santa Claus, but Scary Claus.
Yeah, Scary Claus. Yeah, so
that could be
character.
A good horror movie.
Yeah, the day after Halloween, they have Scary Claus. And cats have scary claws too. At least in my lifetime, I've tried to investigate psyche and birth dates and try to find where the destiny clause is in a formula, in a code, in a person's energy field. What is the difference between destiny that you can't change and things that you can change, or things that are geared towards some firm conclusion, but it's shy of destiny?
Well, this is what's interesting. We were actually talking about this last night, and it's unfortunate Jackie hung up, because she's someone who always calls and says, what does my chart say? What does my chart say? And I was talking about this last night. And it's so funny she called, but unfortunately she probably she was on a break at work or something. But the thing with numerology, if we're talking about the numerology that we're discussing on the radio show, which differs from the common numerology that's out there in books and so on, the numerology we're talking about on this show differs from its astrology insofar as it's not a chart. You don't have a numerology chart so much as you have individual karma and the opportunity to establish transcendent energy. And so what maybe in other forms of, like astrology or common numerology, they may chart, this is a 5-year, or this is a 7-year. That may have a little bit of weight in this form of numerology, but in general, it really depends on the individual, on the amount of karma a person comes in with, and how much effort they're going to put into. What are you doing?
Huh?
What are you doing?
I spilled coffee all over my
God.
It's karma. It's kafma.
So anyway, I mean, in this form of numerology, it's a birth date code that can be actualized, So you can fall back into karma. You can stay within a karmic zone. So it's not so much as a sheer prediction generally, unless there's destiny that is embedded within that code in someone's soul energy.
Yeah. Yeah. And the best method that I've had in terms of destiny, when it comes to that, it was not seeing it in a birth date. It was seeing it in a vision.
For third eye.
Destiny involving even things as drastic as death, the things I've seen that came out to be true, unfortunately, but were there nonetheless in terms of a vision. So is the destiny factor existing solely in the astral realm, where the circumstances are locked in place, and if you have the ability, or if one has the ability to look into the astral realm and see that locked in situation and then report it back or whatever you have to do, that would probably be my best answer, that destiny lies in the astral realm and is beholden by someone who has the ability and the discretion to analyze it correctly and see it as destiny. Because I think destiny is originated in the astral realm, not the physical realm.
Well, yeah, and when you're talking about, you know, if you are someone who ascribes to astrology, you know, there are things, transits that happen in the birth date, and your Mars may aspect with your ninth house, and supposedly that means, I mean, I don't know what it means necessarily, but that would mean that something is going to occur in a certain area of your life, whereas, you know, you don't look at the birth date code and go, well, you know, you're on the 8 in your birth date, you're going to be getting a lot of money soon. You know, that's not how it works. I mean, what is actualized in the birth date code is all dependent on someone's movement forward in life, not only on a spiritual level, but on a physical and mental level as well. So, you know, some people are locked in the physical realm for an entire lifetime and they aren't able to even activate anything transcendent regarding a spiritual essence.
Yeah, that's true. Sometimes numbers, when you're looking at the individual numbers in a birth date, you can see, at least I can see, things going on that can create a sense of a concrete conclusion. Numbers are vibrations. They look like numbers on the page, but when the third eye is activated, the third eye goes into the code of the numbers, and actually the numbers take on a vibrational sensation that is connected to the very owner of that birth date. And then from there, visions can occur. So,
but it goes beyond, you know, an aspect, like an astrological aspect. We're talking about totally different category.
This is in the alignment of the planets and stars. This is in the individual code of a person's life. Because in my estimation, every birth date, even if they're similar, even if people are born on the same day, the same location, everything, there's an individual, if you will, fingerprint. There's an individual psychic print. Because what ultimately determines the outcome of any given situation is the karma, the past life, the energy, the intensity, the family connection, the soul connection of a person's energy field, not to mention their free will factor. So when you split up a birth date, you're looking at what is free will, what is destiny, what was established as a given. Your birth is a given. You have no control over it. You say you choose your parents. You don't choose your parents unless you say, well, the circumstances of my past lives have brought this situation into my present life. But that's not really, I mean, maybe it's by choice because you made choices in your past lives, but you don't sit there and go, gee, I'm going down to earth. Well, and I think I'll have him for a parent.
And what's ridiculous about that is, you know, a child who comes into the world and is murdered by his parents in infancy, and that's, you know, that soul said, well, these are the parents I want. Well, I want to get murdered. I mean, it's ridiculous.
The whole theory is ridiculous because how can you say who your parents are going to be? Does that mean they have no power? You know, no, well, we all had an agreement. No. I mean, to me, this is silly. It doesn't even make sense. Maybe what I'm saying doesn't make sense to people, but it makes sense to me. And so there's an intricate web. It's an intricate web. And you really have to analyze it with great detail. It just isn't something that easy. Watch a spider make a spider web, an elaborate spider web, and you get the idea of what the web of life is like. And the center of life, as opposed to all its spirals orbiting outward. But everything's attached to something. A spider attaches a web to different leaves, different stems, and then slowly creates this intricate design until you get to the center of the energy, which would be the center of existence, where one now is living out their destiny or living out their creative energies. And they're at the center of it, meaning that they're in charge to some extent. So, you know, I don't know, you know, when you get into a situation like what Lucy's, and there's all this trouble going on, and there's people who try to control the situation, and then there are people who are victims of that control. It's a nasty web. That's why we say, you know, oh, the webs we weave. Some of it's based on the details of karma. I mean, this guy, this son-in-law, future son-in-law, who knows? There might be something deep in his past life that
brought
him to this
stage. Right, where he, exactly, and it's coming up. And perhaps, you know, hopefully he's not going to go so far as to, you know, commit an act that is, I mean, that perhaps he did commit in a past life. It's very possible that he was very violent and that it's coming out now. But, anyway,
yeah, we're living in a very different age, and
this is what,
you know, kids that have a trouble with guns, they shoot the schools. I mean, things like this weren't. It is new. It is somewhat new. We've always had violence, and we've always had isolated.
But it's been escalated because of, you know, what the development of weapons. I mean, there've always been weapons. You know.
Well, we have. We have outlets
the progression,
now that,
but now with machine guns and what people are able to get and
get and all that has gone with the development of inventions and accessories and things like that. But what we have now is we have a social system that caters to trends and caters to the dark side, if that be it. And so there's an audience group.
Right, and there's much more opportunity to join with other people that are in the same trends, because people can connect from, you know, across the world with one another. You know,
well, you know,
I mean, in the 70s, there wasn't the internet,
amazed,
80s.
When I was growing up, they would say, you know, they would call the war the theater of war. And I would think, you know, they call it war, massive war theater? But they do. That's the term they use. Now we have a theater of violence, domestic violence, that has become... We have infiltrated our consciousness, and now it's become a trend. It's become part of our way of life, and we're no longer shocked by it. We're living with it, you know, massacres and violence everywhere on not only a singular stage, but on a globular or a school stage or a community. It's become part of the theater of our violent tendencies as human beings to destroy one another. And
not to mention the fabric of democracy being destroyed in this country as we speak, you know, with what's recently happened in Alabama, other story. But it brings me to a point which I was going to mention a little earlier and didn't get a chance to broach it. But the planet, I want to remind everyone, the planet is not ascending. I know that is a common a popular theory amongst people who are interested in spirituality and new age and all this, but this planet is not ascending. there's not an ascension process it's going through. We ascend, transcend the planet on an individual basis, not as a collective, and the planet is not transforming into a utopia. It's going to get worse here. That's the reality. And those of us who are in the spiritual community can only do our best to try to make the world a better place as it is. You know,
yeah, there's a severe duality to existence. And as much as things are going bad and getting worse, we have the ability also to promote humanity and
to
the
uplift,
welfare of
yes,
life on the planet.
Of course.
So we're always going to have that battle going on. We live in scarier times now because now there's further escalation of war with what North Korea is doing, and Iran's starting to stir up again. We're always going to have some problem. Peace, that idea of peace is not even around the corner. It's in a whole different other book. And it's not going to be in the book as the world progresses as it stands. It's a whole different chapter and a whole different book. But what we have to deal with, of course, which every generation has to deal with and every century has to deal with, are the mechanics of war, the mechanics of annihilation, of the apocalypse. We all have these. We all, as a nation, as a world, we all have to face how we're going to take care of this planet and not destroy ourselves because of ideas, because of oppression, because of domination and contrast. And it not just it goes from land to politics to religion. There's no single factor
right,
why
and then, of
we
course,
are going to kill ourselves.
Right, and then in the family unit, I mean, from a world scale to a national scale to, you know, individual,
yeah,
personal scale.
Well, I guess as long as Hallmark is still showing movies, we have some hope.
The theater of war on Hallmark.
Yeah.
But we're out of time, Neil. So we are back here on Friday. No, why do I keep doing that on Friday? Wednesday, I'm confused. We're back on Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Bye.